Hear the word of God. Our reading for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 18 to verse 30. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honour your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are the Lord of all things. You are the Lord of all new beginnings. We always need you, Lord. We need you to speak to us. We need you to help us understand what you are saying to us. We need you, Lord, every day, every hour, every minute. Be with us now, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on us as we reflect on your word. We pray this to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Well, as we know, we are now well into the season of Lent. Lent is a special time in the church year. Traditionally, it is a time of deep and somber reflection on the meaning of faith, the state of the world, the reality of our mortality. And Lent is also traditionally a time of penance. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, and it runs all the way through Holy Week, up until what is known as Holy Saturday, the day before Easter. So we can say, in all honesty, that Lent is our time of deliberate preparation for the good news of Easter. And Lent reminds us that there's a lot of time running up till the good news of Easter. And so we need to spend time reflecting on what comes before the joyous news of Jesus' resurrection. We need to appreciate the narrative events in the gospel that leads up to Holy Week. And this brings us to our text, which is one part of this run-up, this text which Sheila read for us a few moments ago. This passage begins with a question. And the text tells us it was posed by a rich ruler. The Gospel of Mark, in contrast to Luke, goes further by describing him as a rich young ruler. But in verse 18 of our reading from Luke's Gospel begins, the rich ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And there it is, the question of all questions. Now, when I read this text, I have this mental image of this rich man running up to Jesus, somewhat breathless, longing to ask this question which had consumed his waking hours. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus certainly encountered people in his ministry who asked questions with the intent of tripping him up, of making him look bad, of humiliating him in front of the crowds. But I don't think that's really what we're dealing with here. I think here we're dealing with someone who had no real ulterior motive, no desire to make Jesus look bad. I think the man who posed this question had a genuine desire to be in sync with the kingdom of God. And for all we know, this rich ruler had gone to a succession of teachers, scribes, rabbis, and asked this very question. And so in verse 19, the first part of Jesus' response is quite striking. He replies not with an immediate answer, but he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, in saying this, I don't think Jesus was denying his goodness. That would have been a lie. You notice that the man called Jesus good teacher or good rabbi. Now, that's a very flattering title, but it fell short of the mark. By asking, "Why do you call me good?" or "good teacher," Jesus, I think, was reorienting this rich man to his identity, to Jesus' identity as the teacher, not one good teacher amongst many, but as the teacher. Now, these days, when we have questions, we like to consult with experts. Or if you're anything like me, you simply go into your internet browser and you check with Google. Now, they didn't have Google back then, but it was much the same in the time of Jesus. It was common practice for pious individuals to seek out the famed teachers of their time for answers to their burning questions. Now, at first, Jesus offered an answer to the rich man's question in keeping with any other rabbi. He directed this rich man back to the Ten Commandments, which stand at the center of the Jewish faith. Jesus said in verse 20, you do know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Now, upon hearing this, I wonder if this rich man breathed a sigh of relief. And he said, all these I have kept since my youth. In other words, since he was about 13 years of age, which is the age of accountability in Judaism. But this was not the end of the discussion. In fact, it was far from it. Rather than being satisfied with the rich ruler's answer, rather than signing off on his piety, saying, "You're all good, keep it up," Jesus went even deeper in verse 22 when he said, "One thing you still lack. Go and sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then you come and follow me." Now, we need to understand on so many levels how shocking this must have been for the rich ruler and those in earshot to hear this. In saying this, Jesus did something that no other rabbi would have dared to do. Other rabbis may have said, "Go and sell your possessions, give it to the poor," and whatnot. But Jesus went even further than that in this verse. After he said to go sell your possessions, he said, "Then you come and follow me." He didn't say you come and keep following the commandments, but he pointed to himself as the fullness of God's intention, as the true source of salvation. He pointed to himself. No other rabbi would have ever done that. As I said before, I don't think this rich ruler had an ulterior motive when he presented this question to Jesus. By all accounts, he was probably a good man who cared about the law, God's law, who loved God and wanted genuinely to please God. And I think that's what makes him such a relatable character for so many Christians. Many Christians who are even remotely serious about their faith have shared this rich ruler's interest and his burning question. How can I inherit eternal life? How can I please God in the here and now? And many of us make good efforts, good faith efforts, to live godly lives, lives that reflect the commandments mentioned in today's passage. But it's not fully enough. Just like the rich ruler, we can spend our lives trying to please God, trying to measure up. But I think the question will keep nagging us. Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough with a good and cheerful heart? The answer to the deep question of our faith and our lives is not found really in doing more. It's not found in trying to prove ourselves to meet some impossible standard. If we live that way, we're always going to fall short. Always. There is no way to earn God's favor. Today's text offers us a different approach, a far more freeing answer. It tells us that the answer to the great question, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be right with God? It's found in trusting Jesus, in really trusting him. Jesus knew that this rich man would never find the peace that he craved until he stopped trying to earn it. And instead, trusting Jesus to give it to him as a free and unmerited gift. Like the rich ruler, we can never do enough to earn God's favor. And like the rich ruler, Jesus also offers us God's free gift of salvation. Like the rich ruler, each of us has things in our lives that seek to hold us back from following Jesus with an undivided heart. What's holding us back? Is it our work? Is it clinging to a certain social status? Is it fear of ridicule? Is it a relationship? Is it our temper? Is it our money? Is it some other way of trying to prove ourselves to God? What's holding us back? In this time, Jesus is calling out to each of us, just like he did to the rich young ruler. He's saying, even now, let go. Let go of those things that are holding you back from me. They're not worth it. He's saying to us now, let go and come and follow me. So as we continue our Lenten journey, may we be ready to take honest stock of our lives. May we be ready to lay aside whatever is holding us back in our faith. May we be ready to follow our true master with renewed and undivided hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.